Line, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, in the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heat, and Cooling and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. And joining us now is ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, we heard from Jeremy Fowler on SportsCenter the other day. He said the Titans could be a wild card team in the mix for Lamar Jackson. Do you think Lamar Jackson ends up anywhere other than Baltimore once all of his contract negotiations have settled?
I don't think he ends up anywhere but Baltimore. And the reason I say that is I just think there are so many, I think there's a few moving parts, you know, on it. And then, you know, until Lamar hires an agent, I think negotiating those moving parts while Baltimore continues to have, you know, essentially the first right of refusal, I think it's the most logical scenario that he ends up back there. And look, from a how to make that work perspective for the Titans, I just don't know how you do that when I believe as we sit right now, Ryan Tannehill's cap charge, salary against this salary cap this season is just about as high as any player in the National Football League. So I don't know how you kind of, you know, merge those two things together where you're on the hook for Ryan Tannehill's salary and then you would be signing Lamar Jackson to a contract that absolutely would be, you know, I would think at least you'd want more than this, but a four-year, $200 million contract. So I just don't see how that could happen for Tennessee.
Now, looking at you know, potentially what can happen with Lamar, Tim, take away the Deshaun Watson, because I think everybody, even Lamar now, and he probably realized it months ago, that contract, as much as he probably wanted, and it's not, you know, it's nothing wrong with saying, hey, I want $230 million guaranteed. Now, will you get that? That's something totally different. But you shoot for the, what is it? Shoot for the star, shoot for the moon, reach the stars, shoot for the stars, reach the moon, one of them.
Yeah, I got what you're saying.
Yeah, so to me, do you think whatever contract Lamar signed, one, do you think it will be a short-term contract? And I think you just answered that with the 4 years. But do you think his contract will be the contract that sets the market for the quarterbacks upcoming?
Yeah, I mean, look, D-Maze, I think this, and you know this from your involvement in the PA in the past, and like if Lamar Jackson wants a fully guaranteed contract, he could get it. Does that make sense? Like, now, can he sign a contract worth $250 million that's fully guaranteed? Like, maybe not. Like, but, you know, so I think sometimes, like, I've heard people talking about this, like, well, he doesn't have a fully guaranteed contract. Like, hey, Kirk Cousins did. It's like, well, Kirk Cousins signed like a three-year, $84 million fully guaranteed contract at the time. So it's like, if Lamar Jackson wanted to sign a three-year, $84 million contract, like the Ravens would be sprinting to the table to handing him a pen to sign it, right? So here's what I think. Do I think that Lamar will get more than Kyler Murray's, whatever that was, just under $190 million fully guaranteed? I do. So are we going to, you know, count that as resetting it? Yeah, I think so. And I think this is just kind of one of these scenarios where, I don't know, I think some of the details get left out in the conversation about it. Like, would – like, remember when we were talking about this with Dak Prescott and it was like, well, hey, how much is it? How much is it? And everyone's kind of, you know, talking about how, well, maybe Jerry Jones doesn't believe in Dak Prescott. It's like, no, that wasn't the deal. The deal was Jerry wanted to get him on, I forget the terms, like Jerry wanted him to sign a 5-year deal and Dak wanted to sign a 4-year deal because Dak wanted to be able to hit free agency, you know, a year sooner, and another crack at signing a big contract. So, you know, my guess with Baltimore is it's kind of all of these things. It's, all right, is it a 4-year deal? Is it a 5-year deal? Is it or is it potentially longer than that? And, and just kind of some of those factors. So do I think he resets the market? Yes. Do I think, as we're talking in terms of fully guaranteed money? Yeah. If Kyler Murray set it at $189 million, then I think Lamar very well could get, around $200 million fully guaranteed.
Now, Tim, looking at the draft and, all of these mock drafts are coming out and all of them seem to be different in some aspect. But what has been sort of the trend now is potentially these four quarterbacks who we assume are the top four quarterbacks, they will all go within the top five picks. Now, if that does indeed happen, the Titans at 11, where does that put them? Do they, because now with the signing of Dillard, they might be looking at Dillard more than likely their left tackle moving forward because he's young enough. He's a former first round draft pick. So they could look at him as their future tackle. Do you think if those first four guys go quarterbacks, does that change everything moving down the line, specifically with the Titans?
Yeah, well, I mean, it certainly can. Look, let me just say this. If four quarterbacks go in the top 10, just by the history of how this has gone, two, probably three of them won't end up being very good. Like, it's like a 50-50 proposition at best. And, so if teams do that, look, the Titans, I would say, should be excited about that because that means that there's going to be a player that, in an environment where there that not that many quarterbacks that would be going in the first round, they would never get a chance to draft. So I guess I would just start by kind of saying that. But I also think this, as you talk about guys that could go that high from a quarterback perspective, some teams that need a quarterback may need to move a little bit. And you might not be able to go from – I'm just throwing out numbers. I don't know the teams that are picking there. But, you might not be able to go from pick 20 to pick 6, right? Mm-hmm. So in order to do that, you may need to hop twice. You may need to get to 11 to then eventually get to 7. Does that make sense? So, mm-hmm. So I think the Titans could be in a very good spot, with – kind of all of these, feelings about, hey, what's going on with these quarterbacks. Now, saying all that, and this is part of, and I think Lamar fits in this a little bit, and I think that Aaron Rodgers, to an extent, fit in this. Like some of these quarterback spots are drying up a little bit, which means it would probably also have to be a surprise. There probably will be a surprise, pick at quarterback. Because I think many people thought, take the Raiders, for example. I think nearly everybody, call it 2 weeks ago, thought that if the Raiders didn't get Aaron Rodgers, the Raiders would be drafting a quarterback and maybe even having to move up to do so.
Tim Hasbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will stick around with us. Coming up next, it is Caroline Willie DeMays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Hey, come see Caroline, Willie, and D-Maze live, followed by Stillman & Company, tomorrow at Central Barbecue in Hillsborough Village. You can come by for some great Memphis-style barbecue and catch your favorite teams compete in the tournament. Again, that is Central Barbecue in Hillsborough Village tomorrow. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck joins us now.
Tim, before I hand it over to Willie, I did want to ask you about the whole Cam Newton thing. He threw yesterday. And I know what he has said about the whole starting thing. But how many, one, do you think there's a spot for him to be a starter this year? Caroline and I was just talking about it off air and the consensus is no, but a backup, yes. So what do you think his options are, or will there be any landing spot for him to be a backup?
I think it all depends on kind of what a team feels like his posture is on being a backup. And D-Mace, I would ask you, man, you had a great career, but did you ever feel like you were a backup?
Yeah, you're right about it. Nah, not really. Nah, nope.
No, I mean, like,
especially when
you've
started
look,
for so long,
backup.
Yes.
Like, yeah, Jerry Rice backup. Was like 57 years old and still thought he was the best, right? Right yeah. at the very end, like, he's with the Seahawks saying, throw me the ball, come on, I can
yeah,
still do it.
See, what's different about receiver is that, like, minimum three guys play every game. A lot of times, you know, five guys will play, you know, in games. And so, you know, if you're a 34-year-old receiver and you're playing, you know, 40 offensive snaps, like, that'll, like, you know, you're good. You're like, look, man, I'm, like, they may, like, everyone's acting like this young guy is the number one or whatever, but, you know, I'm playing 40 snaps and catching five balls a game. Like, I'm good, man. Like, quarterback doesn't work that way. It's like, you're the guy or you're not, right? And, look, I said this about Carson Wentz. Like, are you doing it? Like, are you going to, you've made a lot of money. Like, are you going to go, you know, make, a $1 million a year, $1.5 million, maybe have some incentives, like, and watch somebody else play and not be the guy. And, you know, I just, like, to me, that is where this gets really tricky. Like, I had a posture of, look, I'm going to play until all 32 teams tell me I can't. Like, and it didn't matter, you know, what I was going to get paid. It didn't, like, that was my posture of playing. Cam Newton's a different story. He was the number one overall pick. He's quarterbacked the team to a Super Bowl. Look at that now. He's made, you know, over $130 million playing quarterback. So, like, is he going to take a position where he's like, yeah, he's going to make $1.5 million? Maybe you can make another $1 million. Like, to most people, everybody listening, like, it's like, yeah, shoot, I'd do that. But not everyone is built that way. And I just don't think that, like, if I'm building a team, he doesn't have the profile to me to be somebody that I'm like, yeah, I want him is my guy to kind of be in my quarterback room. And that, I'm not saying that he's definitely selfish. I'm just saying it would take a lot of convincing to me to want him around. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to be a bad guy, but he's experienced being the guy.
No question about it. Tim Hasselbeck is with us. All right, Tim, another philosophical question. Let's just say you're in the Titans. You're in the Titans, you know, their offices, they're having a philosophical conversation. They're debating as they try to, as Rand Carthon comes in, he's inheriting Byard's contract, figuring out, okay, what do I need to do with that? Derrick Henry's contract, Ryan Tannehill, et cetera. They ask you, best case scenario, Tim, where do we fit in the AFC picture? We're trying to figure out what to do with these contracts. What is best case scenario if we bring everybody back?
And so where do you fit roster-wise because of that? Well, look, I mean, I think I would just – I mean, let's run down them. Buffalo's better. Miami's better. The Jets would be better. You know, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Cleveland would all be better. In the conference itself, look, I guess you could probably say Jacksonville, you know, for sure. Maybe Indy, depending on what happens there. And then – you know, the West is, like, all those teams seem to be really talented. Look, you're way down the line. You're way down the line. I think you touched on something that I think is really, really interesting in that, like, take Kevin Byard, for example. So Kevin Byard, they go to him. He's an older player. He's been amazing here. And they, you know, and they say, hey, we want to redo your deal. And he's like, hold up. Like, I know we haven't experienced the team success we've had, but, like, show me where my play has actually fallen off. Right?
Right.
Like,
that's the tough part of it.
Hey, and here's the deal. It hasn't. And he's played every single snap, basically. And because of some of the things that they have been going on, he was playing special teams last year. You say, hey, we want you to redo your deal. And I think what you risk with a player like Byard is, are you getting it wrong? Are you misreading the market? I think if Kevin Byard were on the market, I think people would be going after him and he'd get paid a lot of money.
I think you're right.
Which is probably why when they approached him about taking a pay cut, he's like, no.
But he's never played at 19.6. Because they've redone his deal, his cap hit is higher than it's ever been. That's part of the problem. Same thing with Henry.
I get it, but you also were getting him undervalued for a long time. I mean,
honestly,
the guy, if he continues to stack years the way he's had, I mean, he's potentially a Hall of Fame player. Like, that's how good Kevin Byard's been. I mean, just being, like, candid about it. So, like, you've had him at a bit of a discount, too. Like, so there is an element of that. So, yeah, I think that, look, running back is the one that I think ends up being where you have to say, look, this is hard, but we are looking at the trajectory of guys at that age, even though, you know, Henry is a bit of an outlier. It's not a bit of a, he's an outlier at the position. Do we have to make some really tough decisions there? Like, that's where I would start. I think what they tried to do, based on the reports, is they tried to go the places you mentioned, but if you read it wrong, you then maybe are getting rid of a player that is great for your franchise, is still playing at a really high level, that you would pay more for in terms of trying to get an equal player on the market who, by the way, may not become available to you. So, yeah, I think that's the real challenge. But to answer your question directly, I'd start at running back.
Okay, so let's come back to my original question. You're in that room, and let's say the consensus in the room is to tell Mike Vrabel, okay, coach, I got to tell you, you just listed off the teams. You heard Tim, Jets, added to the list of the guys we already know are in there, the Chiefs, the Bills, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
You got six or seven deep before you get down into the possibility that the Titans, on paper, are in that conversation. I think it's time we got to retool some things. How does Mike Vrabel take that? Can he take that? And we know he's got a lot of clout. He's got a lot of say in that decision. But if the consensus in the room is, look, let's be practical here. We need to take the step back to take the two or three steps forward mm-hmm. to get back into this conversation. How does he take that?
Well, I believe that, you know, that, I mean, that essentially, I think his, you know, the move that probably bought him time was, you know, John Robinson getting let go. Because I think basically, you know, let's assume, and I think we all kind of are assuming that basically there is a, you know, there between Vrabel and Robinson, there basically was like, hey, this direction that he's taking us is not good for our franchise. We're going the wrong direction, right? I mean, I think, and Vrabel wins, right? I mean, I think we all kind of see it that way. Fair?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we agree on that, right? Well, I think that has bought him time, meaning, like, hey, we fired our general manager because of some of these moves that have put us back. So now we're not going to – we can't completely rebuild. There's not enough time for that for anybody. So how do we just kind of flip the direction that we're on? And I think that's where, like, that's where Derrick Henry becomes, like, a really big thing. I think that's why you maybe see if – you know, if Kevin Byard's desire to play, you know, his entire career in Tennessee, you know, is enough for him to say, like, all right, I'll make this a little more team friendly to make you be able to go do other things. Like, I think that's what's happening. Like, I don't think they, you know, don't know that Kevin Byard's still a really good player. I think they're trying to make some really hard decisions with, all right, can we kind of tap into his desire, being somebody that played college ball here, has been loved by this community, has tapped into this community, wants to be here. Can we tap into that? I mean, that might, I don't know that for sure, but that would be what I would guess is happening.
I think the toughest thing for me, if I'm Mike Vrabel, knowing that, number one, he's such a competitor, And number two, you know, he's now in this conversation. He's in a collaboration with Rand Carthon. But as the coach, isn't it hard to separate yourself as the coach? It's hard to accept. Yeah, we're asking you to kind of go into battle next year, maybe without a Byard, without a Derrick Henry. You're talking about your heart and soul kind of guys for the good of the long term. When you know as the coach, most of the time the coach doesn't last through rebuilds like that. But he's kind of got the clout to do it. That's a tough dilemma. That's where it's hard to separate, I think, being the coach from being the GM.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you on that. And I think, you know, Vrabel's challenge is going to be, look, because of this move last year during the season, the question ends up being now, like, I think he's got a year where, like, hey, maybe they're a 500 team next year. But then the pressure's going to be on him. Like, everyone's going to forget, like, oh, hey, we kind of found ourselves in the situation because, you know, rather than paying A.J. Brown, you traded him away. And rather than, like, people are going to be moved on from that by then. I think he has a year where it's like, look, they've got to replenish. But I think beyond a year, then the pressure to win is going to mount. So I think you're looking at a 2-year window if you're the head coach. I think if you're Rand Carthon, you know, I think you maybe feel like your window is, you know, 3 or 4 years. So, I mean, that's how I see that scenario.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck joining us, as he does every week. Appreciate you, Tim. We'll chat with you next week.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Tim. Hey, beat caller 3 right now to win a pair of 4-day passes to Louder Than Life Festival in Louisville, Kentucky on September 21st through 24th. Artists performing include Foo Fighters, Weezer, Rancid, Tool, Godsmack, Limp Bizkit, Green Day, and more. Tickets are on sale now. Good luck with that. And coming up next, the Predators, bad loss in New York, but they came right back against Buffalo, and the young guys have absolutely shined. We'll break all that down coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.